There's no room for stuffy theatricality at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. Artistic director Kevin Rich and company work to keep things original, fresh, and approachable to folks of all ages. For example, Rich points out there's a free theater for young audiences production called Rodeo, plus festival favorites, the improvised Shakespeare Company.
They have quite a following at this point, and we're also the first outdoor, may still be the only outdoor Shakespeare festival that brings them down, so they love performing in our outdoor theater.
Because they can play off of like airplanes flying over and stuff like that?
Right, and I think they're used to indoor
a comedy club kind of a thing.
Venues, that's right. But to actually perform, you know, improvised Shakespeare in a Shakespearean theater, I think they get a real kick out of it. We've had to change the schedule this year, though. They usually, in the past 2 years, they've come down on Saturdays, but they just booked sort of a standing Saturday gig in Chicago. So this year they're coming on Sundays at 5:30 p.m. Well, and then I think you'd love Rodeo, our Theater for Young Audiences show. I'm directing it. It's by Philip Dawkins, who wrote Failure, a Love Story,
which he produced a couple of years ago.
Yeah, in 2013. Rodeo is a sort of spaghetti Western version of As You Like It. You're just going to love this. I can't wait to tell you. It's about a girl and her mule who want to be in the rodeo, but they're not allowed because she's a girl and he's a mule. So she dresses as a boy and her mule dresses as a horse and they compete in the rodeo. It's pretty brilliant. That'll be running time around 45 minutes Wednesday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at the grounds.
So you're definitely going after the kids with a show like that. Do you get a good turnout with the youngsters in this town?
Yes, that has become, it has really exploded. We started in 2008, and ever since, it's just grown every year. Now we get audiences of between 200 and 300 every time we perform, which is really terrific. And we're starting to take it around town. So most Wednesdays and Saturdays, it's at the Ewing Cultural Center. But I think on the first Saturday, we're performing at the Normal Public Library. Mm-hmm. And I think the following week, we're participating in the Lincoln Festival in
Bloomington.
Yeah. So you can check our website. We have the specific locations there on the rodeo page.
Have you noticed that kids who may have been attending this theater for young people are now growing into an age where they're coming to the regular Shakespeare Festival?
Well, it's great that you bring that up. I mean, I've always met people who have been coming for years and years who say to me, I've come every year, all of the 39 years I came when I was a kid, now I'm bringing my kids. So I really love that exact thing. And it's one of the reasons why we've programmed Peter and the Starcatcher this year to have a main stage offering for this growing audience that we are seeing at our Theater for Young Audiences production. Peter and the Starcatcher is based on a very popular children's book by Dave Barry, Peter and the Starcatchers, which mm-hmm. itself is it's like the Wicked to Wizard of Oz. It's a prequel to Peter Pan.
Okay.
And I've recently found out that it's required reading in many fifth grade classrooms.
Really?
In District 87 and Unit 5.
You have a built-in audience,
right,
with that.
And it's such a fun show for the whole family. One of the reasons why we have added the silver section this year to create sort of a family-friendly ticket price is because we really want to see even more families come into the festival. And I think all three main stage offerings are pretty family-friendly, but Peter and the Starcatcher is, and we just had our first read yesterday, it's going to be delightful. It's directed by Andy Park, who directed Failure, a Love Story, and who's been back every year to help us with Shakespeare. I kind of think he's Peter Pan himself. So it's a great show for him.
Yeah. He does have this sort of, there's just this element about him that's sort of magical and not quite of this world.
Yeah. We have an incredibly musical company this year. Peter and the Starcatcher is not a full-blown musical, but it's pretty close. It's got a lot of music in it. We have a live percussionist and piano player in that show. And as it happens, many of our actors are also musicians. So Rick Barber is taking advantage of that in Twelfth Night, which is also a very musical play. Shakespeare uses a lot of music, but Festy, which will be played by Tom Quinn, who is a festival veteran.
Good old Tom.
Yeah, an amazing singer and expert guitar player. So we're thinking about using his talents in that show and then accompanying him with all of the musicians that we have. So live music will be featured in both Peter and the Starcatcher and Twelfth Night.
So Peter and the Starcatcher, very unique. But you, of course, have Shakespeare in the Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
In addition to this wonderful play based on a children's book. You're doing Twelfth Night, and it contains one of my favorite characters, Malvolio.
Yes.
And you're bringing in an interesting actor to play him.
Jonathan Gillard Daly is one of the best actors in the country, as far as I'm concerned. He's a fantastic actor, company member up at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. He was I believe a founding member at Great River Shakespeare, and we were able to steal him away this year. He is just so good, and he's playing Malvolio, he's playing Polonius in Hamlet, and then Mrs. Bumbreak in...
There's a character named Peter Mrs. Bumbreak?
Yes, in Peter and the Starcatcher, the nanny, and it's pretty fantastic to see him work. We just had a read-through for all three shows, and it's one of my favorite things about the festival, that we're a repertory company that all of the actors are in, all of the productions,
and that's not as common as it used to be.
Unfortunately, it's not. Yeah.
No, that's a shame.
But it's a real celebration of an actor's range and talent to see them play three different roles from night to night. And, you know, we're always interested in this kind of fusion of old and new, which is, yeah, I think, something Shakespeare was interested in himself and what they did with their own productions. So we're setting it in an Edwardian period, sort of Art Nouveau.
Ooh.
Yeah. Rick Barber, who is also from Great River Shakespeare, who I was able to steal away.
I know, totally.
Well, that's what we all do. We all sort of joke with each other. We're sort of from year to year, you know, we get this actor this year or this director this year, this designer. Rick Barber is such an imaginative and sort of soulful director, and he's really interested in the depth of this play, that it is funny but also bittersweet. Rick described the play initially as Shakespeare's bittersweet comedy of love lost, love found, and love imagined. And madness as a theme in that play is also all over Hamlet, so that wasn't intentional, but it's pretty interesting. When we read both plays back to back, that was a word that came up a lot.
Well, you have a very interesting take on Hamlet this year with your casting. And you've cast Deb Staples to play the melancholy Dane.
That's right.
Tell me why.
It all started when she was here in 2014 and had to wear a wig in the two productions where she played Cleopatra and Queen Elizabeth. And she came into rehearsal with a pageboy haircut because she had to get her hair cut short to wear the wig. And when I looked at her, she was wearing cargo pants, and she looked like Hamlet. And I thought, oh my gosh. You know, and that sort of planted the seed. I say all the time, I'm just as interested in Shakespeare's practices as I am in his plays. So the stories are timeless, but also the way that Shakespeare told the stories is something to consider in terms of wanting to reach the same sort of diverse and populist audience that his productions originally reached. So the kind of theatricality with which he told the stories, engaging the audience directly, the live music, the doubling, and the gender bending, mm-hmm, I think are all things we should take into consideration when producing these plays. And if Shakespeare was, you know, able to have women in his cast, if he had men dressing up as women, why not have women dress up as men? I think he was looking for what was sort of fundamentally human about people and investigating those human traits that all of us have in common. So to me, it's perfectly natural to have a woman play a man. It feels Shakespearean.
Well, it was very popular in the Victorian era to have women playing Hamlet. They had a lot of actresses doing it, like Sarah Bernhardt, who actually made a short silent film,
yes,
playing Hamlet.
Which is on YouTube.
It was extremely popular, but I you didn't see it as much after the Victorian era, and I'm thinking maybe it's because people like seeing women in pants.
Yeah, you're right. I actually put together a presentation called Women in Shakespeare. A number of community organizations were asking for it. It's true that there was a period where it was very popular, and the primary reason was that men's clothes were more revealing of the female form.
You could see their limbs.
Yeah, their legs, right. I promise that's not why I hired Deb. It's quite simply, she's one of the best actors I know, and there's no one I would rather see play this role. It was really exciting to hear her at the table read last night, and we're just so excited. We're getting tremendous buzz. She has a following up in Milwaukee and in Madison and in Chicago, and we're getting an unprecedented number of reservations from out-of-town people who don't want to miss seeing her in this role.
In Hamlet, you have a customer who is actually an alum of Illinois State University.
That's right. We love hiring alumni to come back to the festival. So she's not the only one, but she's one who designed Richard II for us last year, and the costumes were absolutely beautiful. So we invited her back to design Hamlet.
Lauren Rourke is her name.
That's right.
What does she bring to the Shakespeare Festival that's so unique?
Well, one of the things that we love about hiring alumni, costume designers is that they know our stock well. We've got this massive stock of costumes from years and years and years, and it is certainly not uncommon for a repertory company to reuse, you know, items of clothing, particularly when we have at least one show set in a vaguely Elizabethan setting. You know, our audiences love at least one of our shows to be a, you know, a period piece, and so we can pull from the stock that we have. It's always neat to see certain costume pieces pop up again years later.
I remember that from two seasons ago.
That's right. Which isn't to say that there aren't beautiful costumes being built by our incredible costume staff every year, but our alumni have a knowledge of the stock that we currently have. So we are setting this show in a, I use the phrase vaguely Elizabethan, because it's really interesting. Lauren and the director, Lita Hoffman, have decided to sort of investigate class with relation to how Elizabethan a character is, which is to say the lower class characters look more Elizabethan, and the higher class characters, you'll see that their costumes feel a little more modern. So they're classically inspired, but have a more contemporary feel to them.
You're in the play. In fact, you're the artistic director, but you're also an actor. And so you're basically, you've got feet in both worlds. You're playing the gravedigger in Hamlet.
Yeah.
And you're also playing Smee in Peter and the Starcatcher. And you're very focused on always keeping the acting as part of your life.
Every artistic director is expected to make some sort of artistic contribution, and usually it's directing a show, and I have done that. I directed Antony and Cleopatra, and I direct the Theater for Young Audiences shows, but my producer, Janet Wilson, always tells me that I came here as an actor. The audience sort of knows me as an actor, so encourages me, which is wonderful, to participate in the festival as an actor. It's a real treat to get to do that.
That's Kevin Rich, Artistic Director of the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, which kicks off its 39th season on July 8th. I'm Laura Kennedy.